Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad you're with us tonight. We're live on the 26th of November. I trust and hope that your Thanksgiving went just exactly what it was supposed to. Thanksgiving. That you gave thanks for the blessings that you have. In spite of all the evil that is in the land, we're going to talk about debt tonight. We're going to get into the U.S. national debt and what it could mean down the road. Ladies and gentlemen, we might be in for the last of our enjoyable holidays. I mean, with the dollar on the marketplace, in the marketplace, taking a financial beating, confidence in the dollar is eroding quite quickly. Other nations are jumping off the bandwagon of the U.S. dollar and heading for toward the euro. And with that in mind, I just hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Let's look at the debt. I'd like to talk to you about how the orchestrated debt load came upon the most prosperous nation. Now, you know, this is part three of Israel Today. We're not dealing now with Israel 3,000, 4,000 years ago. We're now dealing in the now. We have a past Israel, and we have a future Israel, and we're going to deal with the present Israel. Well, in the United States, which I believe is Ephraim, remember Joseph, who rose to prominence in Egypt. He only rose to prominence after the father gave him, remember, he was a slave. And that typifies what Israel is in its own land. Joseph was taken to Egypt. We were taken to America, which in a sense was the land of opportunity and joy and Thanksgiving and things that we celebrate. But in a sense, we were enslaved by the government of the people and for the people many, many, many years ago. Now, our national debt is $7 trillion. We're working towards $8 trillion. You know, something's going to have to give here pretty soon. You know, it's just like the last feather that breaks the back of the guy that's packing a sack of feathers. One feather above the maximum will break the wagon down. Well, it's $7,524,936,294,117.67 as of today with the U.S. national debt clock ticking. So what does that mean? Well, That means that the estimated population of the United States is quickly approaching 300 million. We actually have 294,899,785 of those who filled out their survey form that was issued by the government. Now, they've adjusted the figures through. They know that not everybody applied. They take that into consideration, of course. And so this is a calculated an appraisal. It's actually more as a calculated guess. Let's say that we got 300 million. I'm sure that we got more than 294 of the projected figures. Each citizen's share of the 294,899,785 folks here in the United States, each citizen's share of this debt is now at $25,516.93. Now, what's that have to do with national debt? That means that each individual is responsible at this point for that much of the debt that combines over $7 trillion, almost $8 trillion. Now, this is a debt. This debt is owed to. Now, I'm sure that most of you that are advanced Bible students and advanced world students of the governments knows that the United States government is no longer a government of the people. It is a government of the international, if you will, financial banking system that was actually set up in London, England, and functions out there quite well. Munich, Bonn, Germany, Moscow, Washington, D.C., Paris, just to name a few of the most prosperous nations that have this international banking thing set up. Now we're competing against the European nations. They have now they've got 12 European nations in the fold. Now, that Bible says that there will be a 13-nation alliance rise up, and out of that, there will be three of those nations removed. So the shakedown to the final countdown of the 10 aligned nations that's going to rise as an economic power to be reckoned with is now emerging and arising in Europe. America is a dwindling financial influential power, and it was designed to be that way. With $25,000 plus, almost $26,000, which, by the way, equals the value of the name of YHVH, the total value of the name of Yahweh, or Yahweh, as we call him in our English, the total value of that is 26, which 8, and reduce that to its final figure, is 8. That's the national debt load. And you are, whether you realize it or not, your birth certificate, it is a part of the note system that guarantees the international bankers a value. A trust. There has to be a trust. Now, we know that the United States government has been in bankruptcy without the beneficiaries as the trust, which is its citizens. We have been given a shadow government that has come in and been superimposed over us to collect usury, making us a debtor nation right off the bat. And there's no way that we can pay the usury. I tell you what you do. You borrow $2,000, which is not a lot of money. Let's say that you go to Sears and you apply for a Sears card, and you purchase $2,000 worth of appliances, which would probably be a stove, a refrigerator, and a washer and dryer set, let's say. And it costs you $2,000. You pay minimum payment of $50 a month, and it takes you 7 years. I'm not borrowing another dime. 7 years to pay $2,000 at $50 a month, because $31 of that goes to penalty of usury. The annual percentage rate is multiplied or divided times the interest rate. And then that's what they charge you as interest on the loan, $2,000, 7 years of working, paying faithfully, not missing one payment, takes you 7 years to pay it off because of the incurring interest. Now, let me show you. Now, that's just a small microcosm of one debt. Now, let me tell you what the national debt increases, an average of $1.75 billion per day. That's from interest. So then, the international bankers, every day, 7 days a week now, this is not just like a five-day work schedule, this is 7 days a week, 52 weeks to the year, 365 and a quarter days, that $1.75 billion is added to this debt load at this rate every day. Now, how is a nation of people that has an average debt of almost $26,000 per person, how do they pay that? Well, let me show you something. Like I said, your birth certificate, that's why that they demand you to get a birth certificate. Well, you dutifully give them a name, and then they sell that the United States government, which puts that the state and the national government, it all goes to corporate headquarters and a national debt load to pay the debt. It becomes an asset. You are an asset to the nation as a person because you, the father, gives you specific rights in common law that you would be partakers of the benefits of the nation or the property or the land that belongs to Yahweh. Well, the international banking system, I'm sorry to say, does not operate on the laws of Yahweh. They do not observe the usury laws that the biblical creator has put in for man to observe, or a nation to instruct, or a nation to employ or apply the government of biblical common law principles. That's not the way it is. Because Satan or the evil ones have entered in and stole our birthright or our blessings in this great nation, even in this nation. And remember, Joseph was imprisoned falsely. Well, you, in a sense, represent Joseph, or Joseph, in a sense, represents you, because he hadn't done anything wrong. But it was his own brothers in conspiracy. And ladies and gentlemen, this government cannot function unless there is a Israelite conspiratorial group of people to assist in raping its own people. These are what we call traitors, somebody that in wartime, and we are in an economical war. The war of economics is in play here. And we have what is called the Wizard of Oz in a microcosm. To take a look at the Wizard of the movie, which was, I believe, 1939, that this movie was written by a Jew. And if you look at the symbols of the Wizard of Oz, it is uncanny how somebody must have knew the situation that was imposed on us in 1913. I'm telling you, we're up against a powerful, elite, conspiratorial group of children of darkness who are wise beyond the capabilities of the children of light. We have the three characters, the three main characters that are functioning as we are now. These are the subjects of the kingdom. This is not the kingdom now. Remember, we have Dorothy, and then we have the Wicked Witch, and then we have the Wizard. Mm-hmm. And these things all apply in symbology. So if we use the symbology and apply it back to the characters here, we'll start with the lion, which was, he didn't have the heart to do anything. I mean, you take the house of Israel, noted as one of the symbols of the house of Israel is the lion. And we, you know, a lion is a ferocious animal and is quite capable of maintaining his own existence by his own power because he's the king of the beast. And yet, this lion, particular lion, had lost its heart. It couldn't function because it had no courage. And that really typifies what our people have idly sit by, let all of our rights be evaporated through amendments to our Constitution, to erode away our Constitution to the point we don't have nothing but a government to rule over. It's not a government of the people, although it appears to be. Now, the appearance is the deception at the wicked who are wiser than the children of light have entered in unaware to change the lion nature to something less than a little tame, domesticated pussycat. And so Israel has actually become a pussycat, afraid of its own shadow, terrified, holding its tail in its hand, biting for its nervous condition, biting on its own tail. Well, what did the Bible say? If we broke the laws, if we waxed cold, if we became unjust stewards of the heritage of our inheritance, that we would give way to the enemy, which would become the head, and we would become the tail. No wonder we're chewing on our tail. No wonder we become a domesticated pussycat for the enemy to walk on. Well, the second man that we have here needed oil because he was what we call the tin man. And every time it would cloud up and rain, he would become rusted or he would become inoperable or unable to function in a way that as a body, he had the armor on, of course, but he had no oil. Well, isn't that one of the economic issues today that we are facing? We've got no oil. At least we're told we've got no oil. And that we're dependent upon foreign oil to be purchased in debt, not purchased with money that is like in a lender nation status to pay our own way. We're purchasing at the rate of exports. We are having a deficit. In other words, we got more going coming in than we got going out for goods and services of what we produce as opposed to goods and services of what we import. Now, that has nothing to do with the $1.75 billion. That's added on to the cake or the dwindling or the share of the pie. In other words, it's more leaving the nation than there is being collected into our treasuries. And so this tin man cannot function simply because in 1913 we had what is invoked upon us, the power of the government to demand taxes like the federal, the IRS, and that's the Internal Revenue Service. The Internal Revenue is not to collect taxes from the citizens. That's never been ratified to collect taxes from its citizens. This is a sham put over the lion-hearted or the heartless lion and the rusty tin man. The inability to function and to come up to speed and to get with the program. I'm telling you, we are having our lunch eat every day with usury takers, illegal usury takers. Now, I said the tin man. Now, I want you to think about the symbol of 1939 when this was written of someone designing three characters to fit into the movie of The Wizard of Oz, which is witchcraft anyway. The wizard is self-explanatory that there is wizardry at work here. Most people think that the Federal Reserve is a part of the government. It's not. And so the present-day Israel is in bondage, as was Joseph, our father. And here we are, in prison, unfunctionable. We don't have the heart, we don't have the courage, and we certainly don't have the maneuverability of the wicked ones, the serpent being subtle and wise, has come in, and the wolves, and they're having sheep for dinner every day. They're eating our lunch. Well, let's look at the word in English, pen, T-I-N. Well, we know that pen is a metal plate or armor in a sense. But like I say, the pen man, every time it would rain or there was a moisture, usually from his own tears. Well, isn't that what blind Samson was doing? Didn't this represent blind Samson in a way? That we've got the pen man, the tax identification number, T-I-N. Did our enemy know? Are they actually sporting as were the enemy sporting with blind Samson who represented Israel? Well, that brings up the third character here, and that's the straw man. Did you know that there was a superimposed shadow government in 1913 imposed upon the House of Israel, which we went into bankruptcy? Now, remember all these birth certificates that had a value? $259,000 per birth certificate, that's the rate of value. Somebody buys those up or holds them for a mortgage. Look at all the federal land that is supposed to belong to the people of the United States. Did you know that that's in hock? That this debt load, this tremendous $7 trillion-plus debt, has now put us into hock. We have hocked everything that we've got. Think about a government that's operating this way with the approval. Now, I'm gonna give you some statistics here that's going to amaze you. How much money is being borrowed even under the Bush administration? Notice they didn't borrow any money until after the election. They kept this issue under the table, the Republican did. And they're no different. If it had been a Democrat, he'd have done the same thing. So it's not one, you know, political party trying to outdo the other political party other than trying to conceal the debt. They only talk about it after the election. They increased the billet. Now, here's what they had to do. Each year that we're in debt, they have to authorize the government to go deeper into debt. Now, that's borrowing against your children's future. The birth certificate. What about your birth certificate? Well, you never get the original. They send you a duplicate, and the original is kept somewhere else. Where's it kept at? Does the state have it? No. They say they do. They got a microfilm record of your original, but the original goes somewhere else. And that is into the archives or into the vaults of those who hold our peoples and our nation in hock. We're in debt. And this is what it means. It's pure and simple that any family in the United States that operates like our United States government, like a bunch of childish people, children, that are going to the candy store or to the toy store to buy these articles and can't pay for it. And puts them on a piece of plastic, you know, and our debt is increasing tremendously for the reason that they can reap the benefits of the usury debt. See, if it's a debt incurred, they have the privilege, if as long as you are in the black rather than the red. The red is a symbol of your blood. They drain the lifeblood to your body is rotten. And it's a stinking corpse of debt that hangs over every individual of the United States of America, particularly those who work to pay the debt load or They work to maintain a reasonable balance on the interest. $1.75 billion per day is added to the debt of already approximately $8 trillion. What are we going to do, folks? Is it time to reckon or put our house in order? Is it time that great men are called upon for tremendous acts of courage that Richard, Israel, the Lionhearted, Judah cannot do? Well, what about the 10 then? That represents Israel. Well, between the Lionhearted, Judah, the true house of Judah, now don't think about the Jews over in Palestine. They're the ones that's contributing to the debt. I don't know if you know how much money we give them just in aid to the nation over there called Judah, Jews, which is very deceitful. And tell me, this little ball of twine has been wrapped so tight in deception that the little pussycat here who has no heart will never be able to unravel it. He don't have the courage. Well, the Tin Man doesn't have the maneuverability to get over. That Tin Man represents Israel. Tin is a 10 tribes. Under the burden of usury, which is a curse because it's a debtor reaction to what the Father said, I'll make you the tail. And so then the Tin Man is at the tail end of the train here. The 10 nations that are scattered around the earth, particularly the United States, which should be Israel, Joseph, blessed among them, that it's Ephraim and Judah is the two main characters here, with the straw man. The straw man tying the two characters together. In the Wizard of Oz, the straw man is nothing more than a substitute. It is the bankruptcy man, the shadow man, that they've given a tax identification number, and we don't have the heart to stand up and say no. It's illegal. And yet all the courts will tell you that it is. And yet they'll intimidate you, they'll persecute you, they'll jail you, they got the muscle. But if enough people said no, if enough people demanded that we look at the bankruptcy, go into it, if we demanded All the congressmen and senators that have brought this out on the floor have paid the price. We've got one congressman I know of, Ron Paul. They may be one more. But right now, the champion of truth out there, the lone voice that I can see, is Ron Paul, our congressman. Go to his website, look at the evidence. And you'll see exactly what Pastor Buddy's talking to you in secular terms here. But the secular terms has an impact on your religious rights and freedoms. You see, you're Yahweh's free man. You're not the lion-less heart or the Tin Man or the tax identification man, the tax that has a number, the Tin Man. You're the 10 tribes of Israel that has the blessing and should be the head rather than the tail. And so then, with these combinations, we have the wizard, just like the puppet on the string, we are dancing to their music of indebtedness. And when they finally got the courage to go up, and that word up there, you know, and what road did they have to follow? It was back to the gold standard. You see, since we come off the gold standard, we become a debtor nation. Until then, we were a lender nation. And we are now so far in debt up to our eyeballs. Any family that would operate its family budget like the United States, like we have let the United States, they say, oh, that doesn't hurt. Let them go ahead and borrow some money and print some money. I need more cash. What you don't realize is that when that happens, that your children will be enslaved for many generations to come before that we can ever pay this debt off. Now, what's the... in male is Israel. Israel, we need to wake up. And on the 19th of November, just the 19th, wasn't long after the election. Now, he's not been even sworn in for a second term, but they helped us off. Bush signed an $800 billion increase to the debt limit. $800 billion that's going to be added to almost the $8 trillion. Now, $8 billion compared to, I don't know where you know this now, but if you were to stack that money up, dollar, you know, the thinness of the dollar, it would reach from here to the moon, practically. That's how much a trillion would go out there, 250,000 miles approximately. I'm telling you, we are in dire straits. No family, no nation has ever survived a debt load that is placed upon the back of Blind Samson, representing Israel. And Judah, the lion-hearted, that has no what? It's time that Judah, the house of Judah, and the house of Israel united as one stick and beat the living hell out of our enemy. We've got to take control. And how we do that is come up to speed in the knowledge of what's happening here at the economic level. Listen to this now. On the 18th of November, which is the day after Bush, the day before, Senate voted to let U.S. borrow up to $8.18 trillion. Now, that means that we're going to increase the debt load from the 7-point-whatever trillion I gave you there up to the $8.18 trillion. That's according to the Boston Globe. Some of the watchdogs. And on the 4th of November, there was an article in the Boston Globe that says why Democrats, and remember, Curry was from Massachusetts, Boston is his hometown there. And the article came out in the Boston Globe, why Democrats should be thankful. What do they got to be thankful about? At least they won't have to clean up the Bush catastrophe. It's a fiasco of a failure. It is a catastrophic debt that we'll never recover from. Something is going to have to give. On the 16th of October, the Treasury started the 7.4 trillion. See, this is the time when they don't want you to know. And politically speaking, they go behind closed doors to keep this issue from reaching the public, so that they won't be a great outcry. I mean, we ought to have people standing in the streets protesting. We ought to block the legislatures. We ought to have them to examine the Federal Reserve operation and to see who's behind it, like we need to follow the yellow brick road back to the heavens and see who's behind the curtain, who this wizard is that has orchestrated this great indebtedness upon our nation of usury, illegal as it is, that have made 3% of its population rich and 97% with their backs bent low on the harvest row, trying to harvest out the usury debt. Not to exceed or excel and build. I mean, you say, well, I'm doing quite well. I've got a 401k. When I retire, I'm going to have this and have that. That's the lure of the wizard of the pie in the sky. You know, if you look at the rabbit, which would symbolize Israel, and tie a stick across his back over the top of his head and dangle a carrot on a string out in front of him. He's going to run himself to death in hopes of getting a bite of the carrot, and he's not going to do that. It's an endless, foolish dream for you to think that you're going to have any wealth when you die. The system is just like going to Reno and getting rolled in at the dice table or the crap table or the blackjack table. You ain't going to leave there with your dream fulfilled of becoming a millionaire, let alone just a few bucks in the black. You ain't gonna do that. 99% of the people walk away broke or bent out of shape. You know, that means that 1% they let the roulette wheel get a winner, and you'll hear him throughout the whole casino. Lights will go off and sounds and sirens when somebody wins a jackpot. And, oh, God, that just gives you new courage to hold on and bet the house. You know, and that's what you do. You bet. And that's the way we are in our country. We have been given the stick at the rear end and the carrot at the front end, and we run ourselves to death as they beat us to death with the stick. Because they've got the ten man, Israel, and the lion, Judah, separated through bankruptcy and a straw man, and we'll never get out of debt until we change the system. Well, Dr. Buddy, are you preaching the overthrow of the United States government? No. No, no, no. Change comes from within. I'm not asking you to change the government. It ain't going to change until it falls. And it will fall. Babylon will come down in one day and one hour. And that won't be anything that you've done to get it that way. It will be a time when the Father has reckoned that this deception has gone far enough and that blind Samson has been punished enough for his stupidity. And he finally finds the strength of his body or the courage of the lion-hearted, and the ten men can maneuver and get to the pillars of this corruption and push it down. Well, we know the disaster of what happened to Israel when it did that. The disaster was that Samson, the hero in this case, the goat and the hero, he's a dead hero. Well, there's nothing free in this world. Everything has a sacrifice. But notice how Israel prospered after he brought down the government of the Philistines, who were punishing Israel, exacting taxes. Remember, it was Gideon that was hid threshing his wheat to keep from paying the usury tax that was to be exacted by the enemy, because they would demand it at least 30% of the tithe. Well, in this case, I don't know whether you know this or not, but there's 50% of your income done been sized up and taken. Before you ever work one day, 50% of your income belongs to the state. They've got it, regulation tax, goods and services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thing, pie in the sky, promising you a dream that never materializes, you go to the casket. Now they've got probate court. Most Israel ain't got enough sense to get their property in trust. Only the children of darkness have trust. The lawyers, the doctors, the elite, the ones that have a lot of money to protect, they never write a will. They tell you that you go to your lawyer, he'll never tell you to get a trust. That's not his job. He's a twister of truth. He'll tell you to get a will and designate who you want your fortune to go to. What he don't tell you is that when you do, you go into probate, and the courts decide where your wealth goes to. And again, they take another hefty 30 to 40 to 50%, depending on how stupid you are. And in this case, they have done quite well because they have gleaned the enemy has gleaned at least 50 to 60% of our national assets into their own pockets. The other is just barter money that's used in the system to keep you running as the rabbit would chase the carrot, hanging on a stick out the front with no hope of ever catching as he gets the living hell beat out of him with a stick of the enemy that was beating Samson as he pulled the wheels of justice. You see, those gristmills, those two great stones, represented your enemy grinding Israel between the stones of justice. The stones represent justice. Well, they have what they call the balance, the two scales. This, again, is the symbolic imagery of you going in there thinking you're going to get a fair shake. Well, you have to hire a lawyer. And the lawyers and the judges work together. They take the oath of the justice and the bar system is all in, we're all in this together to exact penalties from our constituents that we might be served by the servants. And so then you go into court thinking that you're going to get a judgment in your favor. And even if you do, the lawyers and the judges, see, the lawyer, whatever he makes, you know, the first thing that, you know, when you go into court, you got, if it's just a small case, the judge will recommend you get you a lawyer. Don't you come in my court without a lawyer. It's not safe in here without a lawyer. You better get a lawyer. And so you're intimidated, scared, and so you run and bar and hawk everything you got to get you a lawyer, and the lawyer works with the other lawyer behind your case to his case and that case. And then they go behind the doors of the chamber, and then the judge says, what's the best way we can go here? And so it is, I'm not saying this happens in every case. There's good system. There's good people in our system. But most of them are corrupt and evil. Bribe, hands full of bribes. And so we pay through the teeth, both sides. Both sides have the higher lawyers. And then the lawyers, you know, how do you think the judge, how do you think he gets his salary? It's not just a servant salary. And these people retire with quite a bit of money. That's why these old goats sit so long on the U.S. Supreme Court. Did you know that these big corporations and U.S. civil suits and things of this nature and federal courts, that, man, the bribes. You say, Pastor Buddy, you're just full of suspicion and doubt and therefore you're speaking out against the system. There's a lot of good people. Oh yes, there's good people that can be bought with bribes. And that's exactly what happened. If you're a good man, when you go in, you won't be alone. I admire, congressmen just like Ron Paul, but he's just a voice shouting in the wind of opposition. And everybody that shouted loud or made waves in these areas have ceased to exist. And we go back in times and places. And I'm not going to have any time at all to give you some of the statistics that I wanted to give you in the congressional budget, the Social Security funds needed to balance the books and the physical responsible budget, the reduces the deficit but not the debt. And, I mean, we're just going on and going on and going on and going on, and it's the old make them the tail and make us the head. Hang a carrot out in front of Israel. Strap it to his head and beat his behind till he... You see, and our people have long wanted to serve in bondage. Remember when the Israelites were taken to, they had to go through the wilderness? Folks, they would have, did you realize that the journey that they took 40 years would only took 3 months? If they hadn't murmured and they hadn't complained, they wandered for 40 years by murmuring and complaining, and the murmuring and complaining was that they wished, every one of them that murmured and complained, wished that Satan in Egypt making bricks of the sweat of their brow. instead of going to the land of milk and honey, a free land, a land that was given to them, a land that would be blessed, a land that would be prosperous. Our ancestors had this negative inclination of blindness to love, to be put under the bondage of slavery. Now, at any time in the future, that just like as Samson was a symbol of the pride and arrogance. See, when David built the kingdom of Israel to its height, to its greatness, it was the sons who were to impose Rehoboam, Solomon's son. After Solomon died, Rehoboam applied to the own house, to his own house. He said, I am going to increase the taxation and the burden against his own people. And in a sense, that's what Solomon did when he revealed the power that had been given to him by the Nazarene vow, that his hair was his symbol of strength. Hair represents a covering. When the covering was removed, or when the hair was cut, he lost his power. And so Israel has no longer having its power through arrogance, through murmuring, and through complaining. We've lost the blessings of the national instructions because we have thrown away the Bible and listened to the damned idiots at the Supreme Court. Pardon me, but it's true. Who have now ruled that church. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, those boys do a good job of keeping church and state separated. Well, that's the reason that I use the word damned. And foolish people. People that take the Creator and His plan out of existence and fail to recognize the quality of the divine covenant laws that could be built into the blessings, and yet we have received nothing but curse since 1913. We have become a debtor nation loaded with debt, and it will increase until the wagon falls down. And she's about to break down. We cannot go much further. Now, by the nothing we've done, the Tin Man ain't got the courage. He can't maneuver. He can't outthink his enemy. And of course, the other house, Judah, hasn't got the heart. So we're not going to do anything glorious or magnanimous, and we're not going to cause any of this system to be changed anytime soon. It will be the grace of our Father who says enough is enough. And as he brought down Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, as he brought down the Medes and the Persians, as he brought down the Grecian and the Roman Babylon, he will bring down the present-day Babylon, which is an extension of the Roman. And if you notice, the laws of the United States of America, Senate and Congress, is modeled after Rome. Doomed for failure. You know why? Because we left the Creator and His just laws and balances and His gold and precious metal standards. We have left that and separated church from state. And we've turned ourselves into the Tower of Babel. We have this faction and this faction criticizing each other in this faction. So we're a house divided, and a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. We are doomed for governmental failure. Now, this will turn out to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to America. Because if you read the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that it will be the greatest thing that has ever happened to our nation when we fall on our face. Yeah, we're going to have to fall like Samson. Remember, Samson had to die to repay the debt. We've done have a Savior to die to repay our debt, to free us from bondage, but my people love to be in bondage. And that's what the Scripture says. My people love to be in bondage. So we got Richard the Lionhearted, represented by the tribe of Judah, and we've got the Tin Man representing the Ten Nation tribe of Israel, and we've got the Straw Man superimposed over them, and to exact taxes in a bankrupt state and a debtor nation only because we have failed to follow the just weights and balances and keep our Creator as the head of our nation. Now we don't even do nothing when they take the Ten Commandments out of the halls of our justice centers. The Supreme Court ruled with Judge Moore in Alabama that he could not have a granite block chiseled of the Ten Commandments placed in the foyer of the courthouse. We can't even bring in a recognition of a God, let alone praising, well, I can go to church on Sunday. That doesn't change this government. You go into church, that's where they want you. And the pews parking your brain in the foyer as the Tin Man, unmaneuverable, unfunctionable, and as the lion heart with no heart. The coward. And they've made a bunch of cowards out of this. Otherwise, our fathers would and are no doubt turning over wherever they're at with pity and disdain and sorrow, as it must have been with the saints who were looking at Samson as he gave away his secrets. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we give away enough secrets through bribes. Now the enemy has all of our secrets and all of our blessings, and now they rule over us. It's nothing strange. And that will continue. This is part three of Israel Today with Pastor Buddy. I'll do the final part tomorrow night. No, I won't tomorrow night, Saturday night. Joe wouldn't let me back on the radio on the weekend. He has a party over there on the Rock 100.3, and I've listened in. They have a great time. People call in. They have music. They enjoy. Happy people up there in the great state of Utah. And we are thankful for our opportunity to talk to you tonight about this present state of Israel. If you'd like to change your heart from the heartless coward of Judah and the unfunctionable Tin Man of the house of Israel, then I've got some more information for you. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me, that's area code 423-626-2172. I'm live tonight. It's the 26th day of November. And I did survive Thanksgiving turkey. Now, the thing about our health is that maybe a lot of people are eating too much chicken and turkey, because it's induced or it's inflated with all these hormones and things to make it, well, I don't want to get into that. It's a health issue. We're talking about the debt of the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to email me tonight, that would be buddy1, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase 1, numeral 1, at CenturyTel, C-E-N-T-U-R-Y-T-E-L .net. That's buddy1 at centurytel.net. Or you can call me, area code 423-626-2172, or you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Until then, I'll see you Monday night with the final part, part four of Israel Today. Until then, blessings and faith. Thank you.